Good morning, this is John Alls, and I send a warm welcome from Independence Baptist Church. The church feels very blessed by the Lord to be allowed to bring this broadcast to you, and we pray that it's been and will be a rich blessing for you. You know, if you've ever had any questions about our church or about the broadcast, we encourage you to contact us. We'll be glad to discuss anything that you have for us. You can reach us by leaving a message at 636-673-2180, or you can write to us at P.O. Box 70, Forestdale, Missouri, 63348. You can also email Pastor Reynolds directly from our website, which is www.independencebaptist.org. So let's go ahead and get started with today's message before all our time is up. Of course, last week we talked about the silence of God and how He has been silent before, but there will be a time when He is silent no more. Now, this week, we want to bring a message to you entitled, A Successful Failure. And I'd like you to listen in now as Pastor Reynolds talks to us about how it's possible to be a successful person, but yet a failure in the end.
Thank you. We'd like to take our text this morning from the book of James, chapter 4. Read verse 13 down through verse 17 and think on the subject, the successful failure. The Bible said, go to now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas, ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Our topic today is concerning a successful failure. Jesus Christ once spoke about people that, and asked the question, what would you give in exchange for your soul? And that question goes right along with the message this morning. Because the passage is talking about those people that are a success as far as this world is concerned. This passage is talking about those people that plan to go into a certain place, and there they're going to stay for a while. And even he has set the time. He's going to be there for 1 year. He has set his business, that is, of buying and selling. And he's already began to count the profits that he's going to make from his business enterprises. The problem is, as stated here in verse 14, that we do not know what will happen tomorrow. Notice this, that it's not really wrong to plan. The problem is planning and leaving God out of our plans. That's the whole difficulty with the things that people do when they plan, is leaving God out. The Bible talks in the book of Luke chapter 12 and beginning in verse 16 concerning a rich man. And here this rich man had a field which brought forth plentifully, and he had more than he knew what to do with. The Bible said in verse 17 of Luke chapter 12 that he said, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But the next verse, verse 20, says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? The same situation we find in the book of Luke chapter 12, we find in the book of James chapter 4. There are those people who plan without God. I would ask you this question this morning. Are you making plans? And remember, it's not necessarily wrong to make plans. There are some things we ought to plan for. But are you planning without God? We found there, as we read Luke chapter 12, that this rich man, whose fields had brought forth plentifully, never asked God anything about what he should do. This man never even thought to bring to the attention of God that he needed God to help him to decide what to do. The man simply decided. I wonder this morning, how many of you listening are planning for your retirement and planning without God? I wonder this morning, how many of you are planning to go to work tomorrow, but have not said, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that? I'd like to emphasize just a little bit here the fragility of life, because life is so very, very fragile. We take it for granted. Oftentimes, people go to funerals and always believe that it's the next person that will die. But the fact is that the person that is laying in the casket one time was as we walking around, their time of death came. And the time of death will also come for us. Notice what the Bible said in Proverbs 27 and verse 1. The Bible said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." How very true this is. Notice also in the book of Job's chapter 7 and verse 6. Job 7 and verse 6. Job said, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope." That is, without any hope of living in this life for an eternity. Because death comes to all people. In Psalms 39, verse 4 through 6, the psalmist here says, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them." Listen to what the Bible is stating over and over and over again as it talks about how that our life is very, very fragile. Understand this morning that one of these days every person living shall come to a place of death. I will come to a place of death. It is before me. It is ever present with me. We can never, ever escape this thought or this knowledge or the fact that death is coming to us. Psalms 102, verse 3 states, "For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth." Well, what does that mean? It simply means that our days do not last very long. Even as it says there in the book of James, chapter 4, "For what is our life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away." Our life is like the fog in the early morning, that as soon as the sun comes out and burns the fog away, so the fog is gone. So it is in our lives. We come forth and we blossom and we bloom, and yet soon we are cut down. We are like the grass that grows and soon is cut down. We do not last at all. Psalms 102, verse 11 states this, "My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass." How very true it is. I want you to see this morning how that your life will soon end. I want you to understand, and I think it's imperative that each of us understand that when our life ends, we are going to spend our eternity in some place. Notice Psalms 103, verse 15 through verse 18. The Bible said in this place, "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." But now get this, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Oh, listen, our life is like a vapor. Our life goes by swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Our days are consumed like smoke. Our days are like a shadow that just goes away. Our whole life is just like grass, like the flower of the field that appears for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. Our hope, listen folks, our hope is in Jesus Christ, the Son of the ever-living God. How true it is that our hope lies only in Christ. The things that we might gain in this world we set aside. And they might be nice things, houses and cars and all kinds of different kinds of furniture and tools and all kinds of things. But we know this, that every one of those things will grow old and they will soon pass away. If we live to be an old person, 80, 90, 100, maybe even 110 years old, our days are still swift, and we will go out of this world, and we will leave all of those things that we have produced, all those things that we have set aside for our use upon this world. We will leave all of those things, and we're going to go back to God. Let me tell you, let me ask you, what are you taking with you? Have you been born again? Are you a child of God? This is so very important that you understand, because it's your life. Today, if you're a saved individual, are you serving God the way He wants you to serve Him? Are you a member of one of the Lord's churches? Or do you go to church? And I'm not talking about those people that cannot go. Sometimes there are those folks that are sick. There are those folks that are old and infirm, and they cannot go. Listen, God understands that. But God also knows when you can go and you don't go. Are you a member of one of the Lord's churches? Do you serve the Lord in spirit and in truth in His church? The Bible said in Ephesians 3, verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That's where Jesus gets His glory. Now listen to this. In verse 15, the Bible talks about planning and looking for tomorrow. And listen, the very first thing that we ought to consider is if we live. Notice James chapter 4 and verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Isn't it so very true that before we can ever carry out any plan, that we've got to be alive? And our life is in the very hand of God. Our very breath is in His hand. The right use of our mind is in the hand of the Lord. And so how we ought to trust the Lord for the breath that we breathe, for the very beating of our heart, for the right use of our mind. We depend upon God Almighty for everything. And know this, that without Him, there is no hope at all. I trust that you will not be a successful failure, but you'll be a success in the eyes of God. Use your time for Him.
It is important to work. You know, and it's important to do the best we can, but we need to do it to give glory and honor to God. And we need to make sure that our work is not taking us away from God. We also need to make sure that in the midst of all the work that we're doing, that we're doing the work that He has for us as well. You know, He told us to spread the word and to tell everybody that He can forgive their sins and that He can give eternal life. That works not just for a preacher. It's for every Christian. We can often reach people that preachers can't. And we can't forget where our focus is supposed to be. We need to be serving God each day. You know, and if you're lost, don't forget that your life will end someday, maybe sooner than you expect. And you need to be prepared to meet the Lord God. Accept Him as your Savior today, because you may not have tomorrow. Well, our time is just about up, but we want to invite you to actually come and join us for worship services at Independence Baptist Church. Our services today will be starting at 10 a.m. with Sunday school, followed by worship services at 11. And we also have Sunday evening services, which start with a prayer meeting at 4 and worship services at 4:30. We do want to thank you again for listening this morning, and be sure and tune in again next Sunday for another message from God's Holy Word.